Welcome back to Live Malloy. We did a rebroadcast last night so I can make a quick trip and come back. And I am back. This hour, by the way, is sponsored by Gerard Brown. And he says his message, vote Gerard for president and usher in an American golden age. Information at Gerard. G-E-R-A-R-D, Gerard1929.wordpress.com. And follow us on Twitter, Gerard, numeral 4, P-R-E-S. Really? Is this right, Gabby? Okay. Gerard, thank you. Okay. Gerard, for president. Doesn't say what? Of the U.S.? All right. Check out his website and vote for him or something. I don't know. Without getting too deeply into it, because I haven't had a chance to digest it all yet, it looks like the Republicans today, under the astute leadership of John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, have conceded every single element they were demanding 24 hours ago where it concerns raising the deficit ceiling. Now, you can chalk this up to brilliant politics on the part of Barack Obama or an absolute revelation of the inability of Republicans to govern even their own party. So take your pick. Like I say, it's out there. The story's out there. I haven't had a chance to really get into it. And we'll try it tomorrow. There are other things to talk. I was watching the first few minutes of, I watched most of Lawrence O'Donnell and first few minutes of Rachel Maddow. And that's the consensus by two people whose opinions and points of view I really respect. And that the Republicans, Maddow even had a white flag at her desk and a little fan. And she hoisted the white flag and said, this is what the Republicans did today. So, cool. I'll try to get up to speed on that one and do it tomorrow. All right. But today, Midland, Michigan. I believe it's Midland, Michigan based. That's where they're based. Dow Chemical Company. Has been found responsible for contaminating a water source in Iberville Parish. In Louisiana, Louisiana state judge has ruled. According to the Associated Press, state judge so-and-so ruled that Dow, the country's largest chemical company, must clean up the upper Plaquemine aquifer. That's according to the Advocate newspaper of Baton Rouge. They also report that the groundwater supply has tested positive for vinyl chloride, a carcinogen, of course, several times since 1997. Dow denies being the source of the contamination. A company spokesperson said last Friday, that Dow is evaluating the ruling and, quote, will continue to vigorously defend the case, unquote. Of course you will, you rat bastards. This is a class action lawsuit, which now is going to be almost impossible to file as a result of the Supreme Court's ruling where it concerned Walmart class action lawsuit. Anyway, it was filed on behalf of several thousand landowners between Bayou Plaquemine and Dow's Plaquemine facility. The operations in Louisiana that's owned by Dow includes a 1,500-acre integrated manufacturing facility near Plaquemine Parish, near Plaquemine Aquifer. Dow came to Louisiana in 1956. Oh, and by the way, Dow is currently in a legal battle dealing with dioxin in the Great Lakes Bay region up north. So there you have it. Just an update on one of the most criminal outfits, if you consider killing people, giving people cancer, ruining natural resources, causing birth defects, causing premature death. If you consider all that, they did invent various plastic and chemicals and insecticides, so bless their little filthy capitalist hearts. But scrubbing bubbles, is that a Dow chemical? Ah, scrubbing bubbles. We've never had that in the house. We use wood sticks and gravel to clean our bathtub and toilet, right? But anyway, Dow Chemical, a major murderer of Americans and people all around the globe. Dow Chemical is an equal opportunity killer. They don't give a damn who they kill. They don't care how many babies they cause to be born with no head or 28 fingers and no toes. They don't care because they are capitalist pigs of the highest order. Oh, really, Mike? Yes, indeed. Dow Chemical. Linda wrote this to me. She signs it Linda in Hiding. Hello, Mike. My husband and I depend on his military disability to make ends meet. What happens if the Republicans refuse to compromise on the debt ceiling and both Social Security and military pay is cut off next month? Of course, this is an extreme hardship on the elderly, and the thought of that makes me sick. But I'm wondering what happens when the military isn't paid. Will our military in service or the wounded warriors turn on the government? Would there be a possible military coup, or will they simply walk away from their posts wherever in the world that happens to be and just say, screw you? I don't need to even go into the consequences of that. I'm sure you can imagine what chaos would happen everywhere. Do these Republicans and teabaggers believe the troops will stick around and risk their lives and their families' welfare to protect the corporate interests? Or will the corporate interests replace them with Blackwater types to fill in the gaps and to control the mobs here at home when it all falls apart? This is becoming extremely ugly with the possibilities of some very scary scenarios. I think maybe we are in really deep doo-doo. Signed, Linda in Hiding. Well, like I said, Linda, at some point this afternoon, John Boehner, who was in a rush to get out and get drunk, as he does every night, and Mitch McConnell, who had to get back to his apartment so his wife, Linda Chow, could begin that day's beating, both of them conceded everything. McConnell comes over the plan, and again, I'll get into this, where Barack Obama could make the decision to raise the debt ceiling by, I guess, executive order. The Congress is throwing away their responsibility, the House. You know, the matters financial have always rested in the House ever since the union was formed. But under Boehner and McConnell, one a masochist, the other one a drunk, everything is falling apart to the extent the Republican Party seriously, really, truly has as their front runner in Iowa, Michelle Bachmann. So I don't think it's going to happen, Linda. I don't think any of this is going to happen at all. The Republicans have demonstrated again, if it needs to be shown, again, yet again, the modern Republicans, i.e. beginning with the Reagan administration, simply cannot govern anything, period. So, Linda, come out of hiding. Everything is okay. More information about this as it develops over the next few days. But the Republicans have decided to throw in the hand towels. They're finished. We'll be right back.
wish I had someone to talk all the time. It's getting better all the time.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. When the Progressive Voices cruise. Come on, Mike. Was held last winter. Actually, it was winter. One of the guests was Alan Grayson, the former member of Congress from around Orlando, Florida, who had been defeated in the last election by some teabag freak. Well, he's making a comeback, I think. He was interviewed the other night on television, and Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent, says, Mike, Grayson said something that I thought was catchy and absolutely true. Quote, Alan Grayson, Washington has now divided between the meanies and the weenies. That's the real two-party system today in Washington. The meanies and weenies. The meanies want to take Social Security and Medicare away from grandma and grandpa. The weenies are willing to go along with it and compromise. Well, people need Social Security and Medicare to live. And there's no compromise between life and death. There's no middle ground, end quote. Kay writes, Amen, Mr. Grayson. Finally, a public figure who's willing to challenge the false equivalencies perpetuated by the media. Speaking of false equivalencies, Kay writes, I received the following from a colleague. Quote, we need to teach Citizens United when we are talking about constitutional foundations and equal representation. A great debate where both sides can easily justify their positions in a way to make the foundation segment relevant to current events, end quote. Oh, sure, Kay writes sarcastically. Let's teach that each side in the Citizens United case had valid arguments. Let's not bother to mention the fact that Clarence Thomas ruled on the case despite having a clear conflict of interest. Let's not mention just how much his wife's organization stands to profit from this decision, and let's pretend that the Supreme Court is a neutral body whose rulings always reflect sound legal judgment after hearing two valid sides to an argument. Call me crazy, but I fail to see how presenting Citizens United as, quote, a great debate where both sides could easily justify their positions, end quote, teaches students about current events. The lesson is missing something critical. Facts. Kay goes on. Finally, to illustrate how the mythology of Ronald Reagan, which is directly responsible for this country's move to the hard right, has become insidious, that mythology, in civics classrooms across the country, I offer this online exchange. Teacher number one. This was my first year teaching AP, American Politics. Scores were low. My question is, how do you convince students to take the test seriously? My district pays for them to take the test. Teacher number two. You're not doing anything wrong. Your school district is the culprit. They have demonstrated the failure of much government assistance. Why should the service be valued if it can be had for free? If the students had to shell out $85, they would take the enterprise more seriously. Teacher number three, who is Kay. Well, in my experience, teenagers generally have no concept of the value of a dollar, no matter where it's coming from. I would bet that teacher number one works in a school whose students do not have the resources to pay for their own tests. This means that without district funding, these students would be unable to compete with their wealthier counterparts. Of course, in the eyes of far too many Americans, that's the way it ought to be. It's known as the merit system, right? And we wonder why Americans are so naive and uninformed about their history and their government. Signed, Kay. You can go to our website, kaysreportcard.com. Kaysreportcard.com. com. What else we got here? Oh yeah. You know, I cannot understand, I really can't, why Republicans, and probably quite a few conservative Democrats, I guess it's not your political point of view, it's your religious point of view. What is it that so fascinates them about the private lives of people who are homosexual, especially their sex lives? Why do right-wingers get so hung up and fascinated by the sex lives of people who happen to be gay? And even not they have to go that far. Why do they get hung up on the sex lives of anybody? I mean, well, what's up with that? Why not just focus on their own sex life with their own partner and forget about it? More on that when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, this hour is sponsored by Gerard Brown, G-E-R-A-R-D, Brown, Gerard Brown. Thanks, Gerard. His message, vote Gerard for president and usher in an American golden age. Information at gerard1929.wordpress.com. Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, gerard1929.wordpress.com. And you can follow him on Twitter, Gerard, numeral 4, Prez, P-R-E-S. Thanks, Gerard. The hang-up that religious right people, the people of the book, Jews, Christians, Muslims, I wonder why they have such a hard time with people who happen to be gay. Or, the whole idea of subdividing people by their sexual orientation to me is madness. Just total madness. I've said it before, I'd like to take some of these homophobes and just stick them on a desert island and leave them there, you know, where, you know, there's plenty to eat and there's water and, you know, the bare necessities. But no females, only males. I'd have two islands about 100 miles apart out in the South Pacific. On one island, all the male homophobes, not all, there's 20 of them. On another island, all the female homophobes, 15 or 20 of them, not all of them. And then just leave them there.
Yeah, and I know on which island you'd have installed the best hidden cameras.
I would. How dare you? How dare you reveal my secret. Anyway, it would be amazing, in a sense, although not really. I mean, what's amazing about the demand for sex can really get in the way of all this religious crap and this political crap very quickly, very quickly. The sexual imperative, in other words. But since that little experiment will never happen until I'm king of the world, and even then, I don't know, it'd just be too much fun to watch what would happen to the homophobes once they figured out, what? You mean there's only us guys here? I don't know, it just tickles me to think about it. But in the meantime, it's not funny. Gay folk are denied some of those unalienable rights guaranteed by the Constitution, aren't they? Huh? In order to satisfy some religious whack jobbery. It's incredible. But so many of these like Tim Pawlenty, apparently he made some remarks recently that he likes Lady Gaga's song Born This Way. Now, was that a secret message that Pawlenty was sending out? He was on Meet the Press with David Gregory on Sunday. And Gregory asked him about that. He asked Pawlenty if he believes being gay is a choice. Oh, yeah. And being heterosexual is a choice, too. Dan Savage wrote a very interesting piece about choosing to be hetero or homo. Very funny. Every other word is a word I cannot use on this radio program. But you know Dan Savage, you know how he writes. So anyway, David Gregory had Tim Pawlenty on and started asking him about the record or the song, Lady Gaga's song, Born This Way. And Pawlenty responded that he thinks the science on whether or not one is what one's sexual orientation is, the science, quote, is still in dispute. No, it isn't, Tim. It isn't at all in dispute. But anyway, this is what Republicans do. Global warming science is in dispute also, of course, right? Anyway, Gregory said, is being gay a choice, Pawlenty? Well, the science in that regards is in dispute. I mean, scientists work on that and try to figure out if it's behavioral or if it's partly genetic. Gregory, what do you think, Pawlenty? Well, I defer to the scientists in that regard. Gregory, so you think it's not a choice that you are, as Lady Gaga says, you're born that way? Pawlenty, well, there's no scientific conclusion that it's genetic, and we don't know that. Well, in fact, there is no dispute among health professionals. As Zach Ford, writing at Think Progress, points out, all major medical professional organizations agree that sexual orientation is not a choice and cannot be changed from gay to straight or straight to gay. I mean, it just can't. Now, you listening, gentle listener, I'm going to assume, since the majority of people in this country or on the globe declare that they are, in fact, heterosexual. I'll challenge you to something then. If being gay is a choice, if being then all sexuality is a choice, then why? Here's my challenge to you, Mr. Hetero or Miss Hetero. First of all, I'd ask you a question. When did you choose? What point did you choose to be heterosexual? A. B. How do you know you're really heterosexual? There's one way to find out. And Dan Savage's column, he pointed out the quickest way for a man to find out. Dan didn't get too far into a woman finding out, but a man can find out very simply. And then he lays out the plan on how you can find out. If you consider yourself to be a heterosexual man and sexuality is a choice, when did you choose heterosexuality? And if you don't remember ever having chosen it, maybe you're not that. Maybe you've been living this lie. And the truth is, You can, if being gay is a choice, then being not gay is a choice. And you can find out very simply by, well, you know.
I think that the prevailing wisdom on how to keep, when you choose, apparently, according to Focus on the Phallus, is when you go into the shower and see your father's penis.
No, that was...
That's how you can keep your children from... That's how they choose to be heterosexual,
right,
is that, to go that, and look at daddy's penis.
No, that's how Focus on Dobson. Was it Dobson? Pastor Dobson or Dr. Dobson? He said, if you want to prevent your child, your boy child, from being queer, and you're a man, not a queer man, but a other man, take your boy child in the shower with you and let him oogle daddy's penis, and then he'll be not gay. Jesus, these people are just sick in the head. I mean, they're just sick in the head. Anyway, the American Psychological Association, the world's largest association of psychological professionals, describes sexual orientation, quote, as a complex interaction of environmental, cognitive, and biological factors, end quote. There is considerable evidence to suggest that biology, quote, including genetic or inborn hormonal factors, end quote, plays a significant role in a person's sexuality. I like the part where they say a complex interaction of environmental, cognitive, and biological factors. You notice which one is first. Environmental, at least where it concerns not gay people. If you change the environment of not gay people to one where all of a sudden you have an entire society within which you're going to have to operate for a while, whether it's a prison or Malloy's Desert Island, where it's all one gender, all kinds of interesting things happen. Right? Right. So anyway, Pawlenty's comments, as Zach Ford points out, Pawlenty's comments underscore the reality that promoting so-called ex-gay therapy, you know, like Bachman's sick husband does, and the idea that homosexuality can be changed or denied, which it cannot, are at the root of all anti-gay perspectives. That's what he... that's what his comments underscore. And it comes from this religious nutbaggery. I mean, what is this? What is this? You know, this thing, sodomites. The sin of Sodom was that they were not friendly to people. They were self-centered bastards. And when people would come by Sodom, and if they were hungry or thirsty or in distressed way of some sort, the people of Sodom turned their back on them and said, oh, get out of here. Go back in the desert. Well, God, who ruled over Sodom, apparently saw that and got very pissed off. And that's why he destroyed Sodom. So that's according to Ezekiel. Tim sent this to me. It says, here it is, Ezekiel 16, verses 40 and 49. Quote, this is the sin of Sodom. She and her suburbs had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not help or encourage the poor and needy. They were arrogant, and this was abominable in God's eyes. End quote.
Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Gerard Brown. He has a message. Vote Gerard for president and usher in an American golden age. Information at Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, Gerard1929.wordpress.com. Where you can follow Gerard on Twitter by going to Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, numeral 4, Prez, P-R-E-S. Gerard, thank you very much. I appreciate your sponsorship. And send me an email sometime. Let me know what your political point of view is. Tim in L.A. had sent me the email about the Bible. And as Tim points out, Ezekiel 16, verses 48 and 49, says nothing about homosexuality. It does mention what today's right-wing Christians do. So Tim's question, was Sodom and Gomorrah actually the original headquarters of the Republican National Committee? Probably so, Tim. And once again, Ezekiel 16, verses 48 and 49. This is the sin of Sodom. She and her suburbs had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not help or encourage the poor and needy. They were arrogant, and this was abominable in God's eyes. And don't forget, the Christian Jewish Muslim God is hell on wheels, man. When he gets pissed off, he gets very, you know, if he sees something that's abominable, according to the Holy Book, if he sees something abominable, he usually has a pretty nasty reaction. Eh? Yes, indeed. Oh, my goodness. What else do we have here? Certainly feels like Monday night, doesn't it? No, okay, it doesn't. I saw this headline, Miami Herald, online, and thought, what? It says, police reports show different side of Michelle Bachmann. Mark Caputo, writing Miami Herald, he points out that Bachmann has this tough talk and her polarizing positions. He doesn't mention that blank stare. I swear to God, I have never seen a presidential candidate, not even Palin, with more of a robotic stare. Have you noticed that? She's like not human. I'm telling you, this is a blow-up doll that has batteries and gears and levers and hinges. And she does that thing that she does almost makes you long for... No, never mind. I won't go there. But anyway, as Mark Caputo points out, contrary to the persona that she tries to display, she's a magnet for controversy. And there's a trail of police reports to prove it. She and her staff over the years have requested police protection or investigations when her house was egged. Probably, well, surely people in her own district. I mean, if you live in Miami, you're not going to travel to Michelle Bachmann's home district in Minnesota and throw eggs at her house, right? When protesters threw glitter on her. When protesters held up critical signs. When her campaign yard signs were stolen. When a man wrote an email perceived as a threat. And when she screamed that two women were holding her hostage in a city hall toilet. This woman wants to be... Oh, please, Iowa. Yo, Iowa. Give it to her. Dear God in heaven, let her win the Iowa caucus primary, whatever the hell it is. Do it, Iowa. Do it, do it, do it, do it. We want Bachmann. We want... The series of police reports from the Stillwater, Minnesota Police Department and the Washington County Sheriff's Office, also in Minnesota, show a side of Bachmann rarely seen on the campaign trail. Remember, Bachmann has described herself as having a titanium spine. That's a very interesting way to describe yourself, right? Well, I have a titanium spine, and I have a latex, never mind. We'll just stick with the spine. Anyway, her campaign and congressional offices refused to comment to the Miami Herald about this, but her fellow Minnesota Republicans say they're not surprised by these reports. Tony Sutton, state chairman of the Republican Party of Minnesota, said, quote, Michelle Bachmann is someone who tells it like it is with the courage of her convictions. There will be people on the other side who will react in an inappropriate way, There are a lot of liberals who can't cope with the fact that she's an outspoken conservative who sticks by her guns, end quote. But those who have been a target of her calling the cops say Bachman, well, to paraphrase, is nuttier than a fruitcake. Brad Trandum, a Lakeland, Minnesota resident who exoriated Bachman in an email this year only to face investigators later, said, quote, she seems paranoid. She does all this criticism of other people's lives and talks about how people should be armed and dangerous, but then someone says something critical about her and she calls the police. Well, of course. Of course. In this guy's case, Trandum, Bachman's staff forwarded his correspondence to U.S. Capitol Police with a header on it that said email threat to Representative Bachman. At issue is the last sentence in this 128-word email referring to Dr. Marcus Bachman, her husband. The emailer said, I would also keep a little closer tabs on my dear hubby if I were you, end quote. And because of that, Bachman's staff turned over the police. Keep closer tabs on your hubby. More on this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Discovery.
Past the hour, this is the Malloy program. This hour is sponsored by Susan Olson. Her message, dear Mike, do you realize that Obama is allowing these neocons to destroy the American economy if they're not allowed to destroy the people's safety net first? Unbelievable, isn't it? Well, actually, Susan, thanks for the sponsorship. Actually, let me just move. I'm going to take this Bachman's husband story and dump it in the trash. I'm so sick of these goddamn people, I could just scream. So I'm not going to continue that. But, Susan, in answer to... Susan sponsors Hour 3. Oh, well, she gets a free plug the second hour. So in addition to Susan, let me just tell everybody... I mentioned earlier in the program tonight about it looks as though Obama either one or two or both things happen simultaneously. Either Obama has been playing these dumb bastard Caucasian Republicans for fools over the past several months or around this debt ceiling nonsense. You know, these are the same Republicans that had no problem raising the debt ceiling seven times with Democrat help during the Bush years. This never has been an issue. It's just because this current crop of Republicans that have their private parts, the males anyway, in a grip by the tea baggers, hence the term tea bag. You all always wondered where, you know, tea bag. So they grabbed them by the short hairs, the tea baggers elected to Congress. Well, there are 80 of them, right? So they go in and get the establishment Republican males, Caucasians to the last man, and wrap their bony fingers around their private parts and then say, now, don't even cough. So this is what the Republican Party, like Mitch McConnell and Eric Cantor and John Boehner, this is the position, John Kyle, this position these fools find themselves in, the establishment Republicans, who are trying to follow the orders of Wall Street and the banksters, the people who really own their asses. And then here comes this little wild tribe of halfwits who comes screaming and yelling and, you know, into Congress, you know, we're going to stop everything. Damn right you are. Go ahead. Stop it, you freaks. Anyway, McConnell came up today with this idea that rather than the Congress voting on raising the debt ceiling, because Obama says, no, we're not going to do that until I also get this, you know, all this political stuff that's going on. So, McConnell now came up with an idea that said, we'll just turn it over to, we'll turn it over to the color guy. Let him do it. let him raise the debt ceiling and then we can scream about it. You miserable bastards. You really are. You know, you're embarrassing the entire white race. that's what black folks used to say. When I was a kid growing up, I had black friends. If any one of our black kids in our school did anything that was really crappy or nasty or didn't dress right or talked up in class, whatever, a couple of the bigger black kids get them on the playground and say, you know, you're embarrassing our whole race. You are making all of us look like fools. And that would pretty much put the kibosh on you know, a black kid messing up back in the day. Now, it's the white folks, these white fools, but there's no adult or big white kids around to grab McConnell by his little turtle face or take Boehner's bottle away from him and just take him into the closet and say, now look, you are giving Caucasians a terrible name. Stop it. I mean, why not? Why aren't there some, Caucasians that would do that? Black folk have been doing that. Come on. We're some white people to grab these folks and pull them aside and say, you know, you're making us all look like fools with this nonsense. You understand that, don't you? But I digress. So McConnell, I'm trying to push it off on Obama. Which is fine with Obama. You know, Obama's back there going, Michelle, you know what this turtle looking freak did today? Do you know what he said today? Oh my God. Okay. So let's turn to Prairie Two. The subject, Americans must choose while they can. His little missive tonight, I don't mean that to make it sound diminutive. I mean his missive tonight is a little bit longer than it normally is, but hang with me here. This is pretty good stuff. Prairie 2 writes, the right wing complains constantly about the welfare state, and there's a kernel of truthiness in what they're saying. Two of every $10 that makes up the average American's income is some form of government benefit, be it unemployment or Social Security or food stamps or disability payments, whatever. The fact is that after 30 years of falling wages and the theft of middle-class wealth, there are simply a large number of the formerly middle class around. They're also known now as poor people. The percentage of income that comes from government benefits would be far less if incomes reflected real productivity. As well, there would be a smaller need for benefits if Americans received their due for their work. But as the super rich receive an ever larger portion of the national income, they don't use their money to create jobs, but rather to buy up assets and take them out of production. Efficiency of scale means less people making good wages and moving into the roles of the working poor. Jobs that are outsourced contribute nothing to our economy and reduce the money available to pay those who do the work. Then there are people like Mitt Romney who simply crate up factories and ships them to China. In fact, the few large-scale steel construction projects that are being built in the U.S. are being fabricated in China and shipped here to be installed by Chinese workers on American soil. The American officials authorizing these projects don't have much choice, as even if they could get away with it politically or legally, having a, you know, a Buy American policy, there simply are no large American steel companies that they can buy from. The next big emerging problem is that with no real economic recovery, we have no choice but to keep providing money to the large segment of newly poor Americans or face the economic consequences. Funding for extended unemployment will stop December 31st. And a couple of million people will fall from being merely poor to being desperately poor. Throw in the cuts Republicans want to make to their other programs, as well as to the government payroll. And all this taken together will cause the economy to go right off the cliff in 2012. Obama appears to be beating the Republicans over the debt ceiling, but he can't defy gravity. And the Republicans have already pushed the country off the cliff. We're just standing in midair like a cartoon coyote. And at the end of the year, we'll have no choice but to look down. Already people who could spend money aren't, because of uncertainty. I don't mean corporate uncertainty. They're certain about what they're doing. Except for retailers, corporate profits are at an all-time high, and their bank accounts are incredibly fat. I mean the real creators of jobs, people who buy things. Everybody from the welfare recipient who simply doesn't have money to spend, to the middle-aged person who heard Obama say he might agree to raise the age of Medicare still higher and simply stop spending money out of fear he won't be able to pay the doctor. But is Obama the coyote or the roadrunner? Let's talk about that when we come back. See, I told you this is a rather long Prairie 2 piece tonight. Is Obama the coyote or the roadrunner? We'll be right back.
He's a detective down in Texas. No one knows just exactly what the facts is. He ain't gonna let those two escape justice. He makes his living off of the people's taxes. I'm super close to the lake. Billy Joe caught up to the very next day.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So Prairie 2 writing tonight about Americans have to choose while we still can, because Republicans are trying to push everything over the cliff, because the Republican Party has become the leadership has become a group of very confused Caucasians who are embarrassing the entire white race in this country, making us all look like a bunch of fools, in much the same way as when I was a kid, when you have a smart-ass kid in class, a black kid in class, other black kids would take him on the playground after school and say, you know, get yourself right because you're making all of us look bad. You don't remember that time, do you? Well, think about it, truth seeker. If you're of a certain age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, now, see, there's no white people to take these the turtle and the drunk into a cloakroom someplace and say to McConnell and Boehner, you got to stop this. You got to stop this craziness. You're making white people look like they're insane. You got to stop. So McConnell comes up with this plan, turn it all over to Obama. Let him change the debt ceiling. So, Prairie 2 writes, but is Obama the coyote or the roadrunner? The day of reckoning is now pegged at August 2nd. And Obama said today that the benefit checks like Social Security and payments for veterans that are due to be the very next day will not be forthcoming without an agreement. The hard math is that 44% of the current budget authorized by Congress comes from borrowed money. The popular lie in the corporate media is that money comes from China, but I've yet to see a government check payable in yuans. The Chinese money, the borrowed money, really comes from rich Americans and their corporations who pay no taxes. Obama must, according to the 14th Amendment, pay the debts of the United States, quote, without question, end quote. That's in the Constitution. So that means 50% of the spending of the non-budget obligation or non-debt obligations authorized by Congress cannot be met without further borrowing. Obama could take the 14th Amendment to mean that he must spend the money authorized by Congress and ignore the debt ceiling. But he seems to take the meaning to be he must now choose what debt obligations to meet and what people to leave destitute. If Obama were to meet the debt payments and the entitlement obligations of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the like, then the rest of the government would cease to function. Soldiers, FBI agents, Border Patrol, CDC doctors, VA personnel, and the like will go without pay for a while, but at some point, reality must hit home. Mitch McConnell says no deal is possible with the current president of the United States. He must seriously believe that the government will simply live off the land like Sherman's army for the next 18 months. Will they loot and pillage towns selected by zip code in a lottery? I personally prefer singling out the red states for utter devastation. In fact, Republican Senate Minority Leader McConnell has a uniquely political solution that tops anything Republicans have come up with so far. McConnell would support a resolution that authorizes Obama to raise the debt ceiling unilaterally so that Congress plays no role in it and technically condemns it. Obama will uphold the Constitution, carry out the will of Congress, save the Republic and the world economy, but the Republicans will condemn him for it in the very authorization to do the deed. Only in a madhouse or in America, or are the two that very same thing? Only in a madhouse or in America, or are the two the same thing? Americans must choose while they still can. PrairieNumeral2.com. So what McConnell's talking about is to pass a resolution that says essentially Obama's just acting like a miserable, rotten, stinking, lousy leader. But go ahead and raise the debt ceiling. And in raising the debt ceiling, as Prairie 2 points out, Obama will uphold the Constitution, carry out the will of Congress, save the Republic and the world economy, but Republicans will condemn him for it in the very authorization to do the deed. Jesus, God! Republicans, the other white meat. Oh, my God. Oh, McConnell, boner. Can't you guys, I mean, just for a few minutes, can't you come out of the ether? Can't you go after Obama on the wars? Oh, no, wait a minute. Stop it, Malloy. Jesus Christ, you're acting like the Republican Party still has the ability to think. You're pretending, aren't you, Mike, that Republicans use logic? Never mind. My bad. Republicans, the other white meat!
is sure the public their production will be.
Hey, truth seekers, gather around the campfire. It's boy.
It's who? Oh, Jesus. Someday we'll have real equipment here. 25 before the hour, this hour is sponsored by Susan Olson. Her message, dear Mike, do you realize that Obama's allowing... Oh, wait a minute, this is third hour. Never mind. I'm sorry, Susan. I'll do a third hour. I just, you know, I'm sitting here staring at it. And I don't know. Now, not only are the Republicans incapable of governing, but they want to make sure that the American education system is incapable of turning out future governors, people who can govern, whether it's on the county, the city, the state, federal level. And that way they can ensure, these teabaggers, that we will have political chaos into which will step religious leaders, all evangelical Christians, of course. You don't think it would be any Jews or Muslims, do you? Evangelical Christian leaders who will step in and rule according to the Bible. Now, in pursuit of that goal, at Think Progress, Ziad Zaid Jilani writes, as Think Progress has documented, a tightly knit group of right-wing political action committees, PACs, and corporate foundations have unleashed an assault on public education, pushing school voucher schemes nationwide that would funnel taxpayer dollars away from public schools and toward private schools instead. In doing so, many of these voucher advocates claim they simply want to expand school choice and improve the quality of education for all. Yeah, that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to, you know, make things wonderful for all our little kiddies. Yet one group that has been influential in the school voucher push is finally admitting that its true goal is to abolish public education. That's the Independence Hall Tea Party, which has run a major PAC that operates in Delaware, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. In a series of emails and interviews, Terry Adams, T-E-R-I, Terry, the president of the Independence Hall Tea Party Association, explains that her organization is involved in its voucher advocacy because it believes, quote, public schools should go away, end quote. Well, of course they do. Of course they do. Terry Adams said that their ultimate goal is to, quote, shut down public schools and have private schools only, end quote. Julia Rubin, who's the spokeswoman for Save Our Schools, that's a New Jersey organization that is opposing the voucher push in the state, said, quote, it's refreshing to see a vouchers promoter like Terry Adams, who's honest about her real intent to destroy public education. Fortunately, Ms. Rubin says, most New Jersey residents understand how devastating vouchers would be for our excellent public schools, end quote. I don't know what excellent public schools she's referring to there. Certainly not the ones here in Atlanta. That's for damn sure. Although it's not the kids that have screwed up the Atlanta public school system. It was the teachers, huh? I'm not going to bore you with that. So the teabaggers, not only do they want to destroy the whole concept of taxation, which is the only way a body politic can survive. I mean, if you don't have taxes, you numbnut freaks, how are you going to pay for anything? Hello? How are you going to pay for anything? Donations? $100 hour sponsorships? You know, for $1,000, you can sponsor 5 minutes of the U.S. government. Is that how you're going to do it, you halfwits? What other way does the government have, short of theft, that would be capitalism, of raising money other than taxation? So anyway, the overall tax picture for Americans is at one of its lowest points in the history of this republic, and yet these greedy, selfish, and ignorant freaks who comprise not just the teabag clot of miscreants, but also the Republican Party in general, want to tell you that you're overtaxed. No, you're not. You're not overtaxed at all. It just seems that way because capitalism demeans you and takes from you your productivity while it lessens the amount of money that it's willing to pay you. That's why you feel bad. It's not because of that stupid... You know, there's a millage rate increase in one of the school systems proposed here in the metro Atlanta area. The school system desperately needs it. If they don't get it, the consequences are just too dire to talk about. The proposal is, I think it's 2.5 mils, which translates... For the average $150,000 home, or is it $150,000 home in this particular county, it translates into an extra $100 a year in taxes, which is $2 a week, which is 30 cents a day. And they're holding public hearings in this county. I think is it Gwinnett County? I don't know what county it is. They're holding public hearings. And some of the people, as recorded by the local television stations, who show up to speak against this 30 cents a day tax increase, are so blatantly dumb, ignorant, as to render their opinion meaningless, except for one thing. They vote. They vote in these tax commissioners, county commissioners, school board, tax assessors, whatever. 30 cents a day for the average household. So if you have four people, oh, God, it's 7 cents per day per person to fund, maintain, develop, expand the public education system in this county. 30 cents a day. And these people are saying no. I ain't gonna do it. Paying too much tax now. Ain't gonna do it. And it's not the taxes that are killing people. It's the low wages. Why the average worker doesn't understand that in this country is because you have corporate broadcast terror organizations like Fox that pump lies into the national discourse 24/7. You have pigs like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh, who take sport in watching things fall into chaos. So, you know, once again, I come back to my standard question. How much longer before the American people realize this and say to teabaggers, say to... Republicans, the country is going to advance. Get out of the way or we will smash you. And then when they don't get out of the way, actually smash them. I mean, if your house is full of cockroaches, what do you do? What do you do? Well, back in the day, a long time ago, if you lived in Texas, you'd call one of Tom DeLay's companies to come out and exterminate the bugs. Of course, Tom DeLay just breathed in too much of that parathion. Or whatever it is. Whatever happened to Tom DeLay? Pyrethrons, I should say. So when your house is chock-a-block with rats and roaches and silverfish and bugs and creepy crawly things, what do? You exterminate them. You get them out of your house. You call the exterminator. You say, get rid of these pests. And the exterminator, if the company is, worth its advertising in the Yellow Pages, they do it. I know, I know. Don't write to me about filling your house with poison and killing bugs. I'm trying to make an analogy here. Oh, God. So, Republicans, and especially the teabaggers are the leading fringe of the cockroaches. But the establishment Republican Party now that I'm beginning to realize is are bigger cowards than even the Democratic Party leadership. The Democratic Party leadership is comprised of cowards, yes. But the Republican Party leadership are afraid of their own members, people who have R's after their names, this stampede of 80-something freaks that came roiling into the Capitol talking about they're going to end this and stop that. You haven't done a goddamn thing, have you? And you're not going to. Do you understand that? You're not going to. And even if you do succeed at this and continue this game, eventually the American people are going to exterminate you. Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Susan. No, wait, that's next hour. Oh my God. You heard about Newt Gingrich? He, up in Iowa, there is, you know, another one of those groups of right wing psychopaths, religious freakoids who want to beat you to death with a Bible and kill you with their cross, whatever. Anyway, Newt Gingrich, as much as adulterous freak as he is, he's refusing to sign a controversial marriage pledge that this group is demanding that all the isn't it amazing? I mean, loyalty oaths, religious oaths, sign here, so you sign here. You have this freak Grover Norquist and his no tax people. The Republicans got to sign up on that, and they got to sign up with this, and they got to sign up. Oh, I won't. I promise you, I always use my right hand to wipe myself. If I use my left hand, oh, may my left hand curse my right and my eyes fall out, or whatever the hell they come up with. My God. So here's this marriage pledge. And Gingrich is going to tell him, no, that's not the way you do it. He says he's not going to do it till this group changes its language. This group is called Family Leader. It's a social conservative group that designed the pledge, Family Leader. And yesterday, Gingrich was in Iowa, and he told the that group of psychopaths leader, his name is Bob Vanderplatz, that he, Gingrich, wants to change language in the pledge, which every Republican presidential candidate was asked to sign before he agrees to it. Gingrich apparently told Vanderplatz, quote, "We're happy to work with you to sharpen it so people understand where we're going with it." It's not there yet. You can read it online if you want to. Anyway, this pledge, it's about opposing, the idea is to oppose same-sex marriage. See, once again, you know, even though Newt has a sister who is a lesbian, and you know, most families have gay members. I mean, show me a family that doesn't. Oh, you don't know about your gay family member. Ah, well, if you were a little bit more honest in your familial relations, you would find out that your cousin or your auntie or your sister or your uncle or your son or your daughter just happened to be non-hetero. I'm going to start using that. I get so tired of identifying, well, he's a homosexual. Let's turn it around. He's a heterosexual. He's been a heterosexual all his life. You know, he chose that. Anyway, I digress. The pro-marriage pledge, according to the National Journal, ostensibly about opposing same-sex marriage, has drawn criticism for also including provisions that ask female soldiers not be put in combat situations. Presidential candidates must remain faithful to their spouses. Gingrich? Clinton? I mean, Clinton and Gingrich are like frickin' frack. They, you know, they were both boinking interns, in a manner of speaking. You know, you can make the argument that Clinton was not boinking his secretary. They have the expression down here in the South for what Clinton was doing. Gingrich, on the other hand, was boinking. There's no question. No question. Anyway, in a preamble to this 14-point vow that the Republican nutbags have got to sign, this is one that also suggested that black kids were better off during slavery. Huh? Right? They put that in there. They're so hung up on sex and race, these miserable Caucasians. You know, you Caucasians are giving the rest of us a really bad name. Somebody needs to take you white men off into a corner and you white women and just explain to you that the white race on earth is a minority, and you're making us look like a bunch of damn fools. You really are. Now you gotta stop, because you are a discredit to our race. Do you not understand this? White folks are in the minority. About the only place you find a lot of white people all cluttered, clutched together is in Northern Europe. Seriously, think about it. And you white people in the United States of America are giving all of us a bad name with all your stuff about race and homo this and hetero that and sign this and eat that and blow this away and put your signature here. And, oh, you people make me sick. Anyway, Gingrich's spokesman declined to mention what parts of the pledge Gingrich specifically objected to. Maybe it's the part about not boinking someone other than your wife when you're still married, especially when you publicly declare, while you're doing that, that you're going to go after the president, who happens to be doing a variation of that at the same time. Let me see. Let me look here quick. Hypocrisy. There it is. Hypocrisy. Oh, my God. There's a picture of Newt Gingrich. Two candidates for the Republican leadership post, Rick Santorum, he of the fondling dead fetuses, and Michelle Bachmann, she who really does believe that black children had better time during slavery, and also whose husband likes to destroy the lives of human beings by telling them God will rip their goddamn heads off if they don't stop being gay, they signed the pledge. But Newt, being the horn dog realist that he is, you know, he just said, well, wait a minute. I have to be faithful to Callista forever? Forever? God damn, forever. I mean, that's a long time, man. Jesus Christ almighty. Thank you. back, 7 past the hour. Phone lines are open if you want to call in, 877-996-2556. Did you hear about this, another one of these Republican freaks in Arizona? A senator, Lori Klein, who is a gun rights champion. I'm a gun rights champion. Lori Klein, she, according to reports here, she keeps a loaded raspberry pink handgun in her purse. Oh, isn't that just too sweet? And during an interview with a reporter from the Arizona Republic, she took it out and pointed it at him. Raspberry pink handgun loaded with a laser sight on it. You talk about an armed madhouse, using Greg Palast's term. This woman should be locked up yesterday. She said of her gun, it's a 38 Ruger, a 380. She says, "Oh, it's so cute." And then she aimed it at the reporter, Richard Ruelas. She aimed it at the reporter's chest to show off the red beam of the laser sight. The gun has no safety. But Lori Klein, the Republican nutcase, said to the reporter, "Oh, don't worry, you're not in danger." She said, I don't have my hand on the trigger." You don't put your hand on the trigger, you half-wit. "I don't have my hand on the trigger. Isn't this fun? I'm pointing. Look at the little red dot right there in the middle of your chest." Jesus Christ. Lori Klein, the Republican senator, told the Arizona Republic she owns a number of guns, and she had informal training sessions on each of them, and that she was taught gun safety by her father. Jesus Christ. So she points.
Local gun activists in the Phoenix area have criticized Klein for pointing her gun at the reporter. Rod Mermelstein, that's his name, Rod Mermelstein, the range master at the Phoenix Rod and Gun Club, told the Arizona Guardian that Klein's actions were, quote, unconscionable. Mr. Mermelstein also said, quote, "Whoever would do something like that needs to have a better grounding in gun safety before ever laying a hand on a firearm," end quote. Now, remember what happened on January 8th. Representative Gabriel Giffords, Arizona Democrat, was the object of an assassination attempt with a handgun, with someone just like State Senator Lori Klein, Republican halfwit, who points a goddamn loaded gun at somebody's chest and says, "Oh, look at the little red dot. Isn't that cute?" This hour is sponsored by Susan Olson. Susan, if you're listening, I tried to get you to sponsor the last hour. I kept saying your name. But anyway, she has a message. "Dear Mike, do you realize that Obama is allowing these neocons to destroy the American economy if they're not allowed to destroy the people? The people's safety net first." Unbelievable, isn't it? It is unbelievable, but as we've been reporting tonight, Susan, Obama might be the roadrunner, and the white people that run the House and the Senate, the Republican, well, not the Senate, they're the minority, in the minority, but the white people that run the House and think they run the Senate are collectively taken together the coyote, and Obama is just playing them like the stupid white people that they are. But anyway, thanks, Susan, for the sponsorship. Lori, is that her name?
Say, Senator, oh, look, Mr. Reporter, I've got this really cute raspberry pink 380 Ruger. you know, you see that little red spot on your chest there? If I pull the trigger, which I won't because my hand is not on the trigger, but if I were to use my hand and pull the trigger, it would blow a pretty good size hole in the back of your chest. That is your back. Jesus, God. Jeremy's in Burlington, Vermont, listening to Sirius. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Mike. First of all, I want to say I think you scared Blue off when you called him out last time. Unless he's called in since then, I haven't heard it.
No, he called in last week, and I just told Kathy I wasn't in the mood to... he's just not in the mood. I normally don't ban people. He's certainly not banned people. He's not banned from the program, but... You know, every once in a while, I'm sure you've had it happen to you. It can be a family member. It can be one of your friends. But all of a sudden, somebody just starts getting irritating. So you put them in timeout for a while.
I understand completely.
Okay.
I actually called because I was asking Kathy if you had heard about Obama's new stance on suicide in the military.
No.
It turns out...
Sending the letter of condolence, the official letter. Yes, I did hear about that.
Yes, the signed letter saying that they were honored because they gave their life and served our military just like anyone else did.
Right, right.
He did stop short of sending letters to people, I guess, who died in training or in training exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But he did said he will send overseas veterans families letters, I guess, to say, since we pretty much destroyed them. Thanks for your service.
I never knew that the policy did not include. I thought anyone who was in uniform.
If you committed suicide in overseas or even here after service, you were just kind of wiped from the memory of the military.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's all I want to see if you knew about, Mike.
Yeah, I did. I did hear about that, Jeremy. And thanks. Thanks for bringing it back up. Is something else you want to talk about?
I guess maybe the Obama thing and pretty much. Having the Republicans throw their hands up and for all appearances of it, give up basically because he's stonewalling them. If that's a good thing or a bad thing, who knows?
I think Obama just completely, and again, I don't know if this was conscious on his part or it was an unintended consequence. If it was conscious on Obama's part, I certainly am among the, critics of the Obama administration who feels like a complete fool. I mean, if Obama really put these Republicans in the trick bag by telling them and telling the country that he's going to cut Social Security, he's going to cut Medicare, he's going to cut all this stuff in exchange for a few lousy tax increases that come as a result of closing loopholes and taxing the ultra-wealthy, and he had no intention of cutting Medicare or Social Security, but he put it out there so the because he knew the Republicans wouldn't even accept that. If you remember last week and over the weekend, all the talk was that Obama was offering a $4 trillion cut over 10 years in so-called entitlement expenditures. And all the Republicans had to do to get that was to agree to a few hundred billion in tax or revenue increases that involve closing loopholes, and they wouldn't do that. So who's to say if Obama did this deliberately to trick bag these poor, stupid Caucasians, boy, do I feel like a fool. You know what I'm saying? Because I bought the whole thing. I thought Obama was going so far right that he was actually going to do this. Now, I don't know. Was he? Or was this all a trick?
I bought it too, so I kind of think it might have been maybe a trick on his part, on their part, to make them realize they're caught between a rock and a hard place, and there's nowhere to go.
I'd like to think that it was a trick on Obama's part, but I just don't know. Whatever it was, it sure smoked out the turtle and the drunk and made them both look like fools. Jeremy, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's 21 past the hour. Roger is in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hello, Roger.
Hi, Mike. You at the beginning of the... here I listened to you on the time lag. Obama, I think it's a combination of two things. These guys in the Republican don't have any astuteness or anything. These are imbecile. Obama gave a good speech and put them in a corner and forced them... The only way they can respond to him is by governing their own party, and they cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this Boehner and the other Mitch McConnell, who always talks with his mouth full of trash or something, these guys cannot, because the teabaggers run in different direction. One is a northern and a south. They cannot control any of them. So they cannot respond to Obama's challenge. So they have given him the freedom, total control. You do whatever you want. You raise the debt ceiling, whatever. And now the only thing, Obama does it well, and he has the results to show for it. He's a shoo-in in 2012. But if he falters, then he can be blamed. That's the only problem.
Yeah. Well, the Republican leadership, as crazed and sick as it is. If I understand what happened today, have conceded to Obama the power to, as Prairie 2 said, one of our economics correspondents said, Obama will come off looking like the man who saved this republic, saved the global economy. Saved everything, made sure that the old folks and the veterans and the poor people continue to get their checks, and the Republicans look like a bunch of sourpuss drunks and halfwits, which is what they are. And then in return, the Republicans get to criticize him for doing all that. Now, the American public, we are politically ignorant. Probably the most politically ignorant 300 million people ever to occupy one corner of the earth. But on the other hand, we are emotional, too. So knowing that the Republicans did nothing to make sure that the money kept flowing and that Obama did, it makes him look like David up against Goliath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if the results are there, means however... these crooks may portray him, still, I don't think all 300 million are not going to be fooled by this. You can't fool all the people all the time. Yeah, they'll fool some people, maybe 100 million, but the other 150 will take care of the elections for 2012 for Obama and the Democrats. So I'll be happy with that.
Well, there's a very good chance that what happened today, Roger, was the... actually, the re-election in 2012 of Barack Obama. Hey, Roger, got to move on. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. I wonder. Denny, north-northwest of L.A., writes, I'm thinking that Obama has exposed the GOP with the rope-a-dope tactic for the greedy pig bastards they are. I'm also seeing future election ammunition. Possibly effing brilliant. Danny, north-northwest of L.A. What is north-northwest of L.A.? Oh, well. Thanks, Danny. Yeah, if this was an Obama ploy... And I'm sure we'll never really know what actually happened. Only a handful of insiders will know if this was an unintended consequence. You know, the turtle suggesting today that, okay, you have it, you can have it. And Obama wins. And Boehner running up the white flag of surrender. Or, if that was a deliberate action, or if it were just... the Republicans panicking and realizing that they're going to lose everything when the American public finally comes out of the ether and the stupor and the coma that the American public is constantly in. So who knows? Whatever. It doesn't matter to me if this gets, I mean, this whole debt ceiling issue is just hog snot. It's nothing. It's hog snot in a pig farm. It means nothing. Nothing, nothing. It never did. It means nothing. Raise the debt ceiling, lower the debt ceiling. Nonsense. Now, once they get past this, maybe if there are any responsible people left in the Democratic Party leadership in Washington, maybe they'll take a look at how a couple of quick punches to the solar plexus of the Republican leadership just made them collapse. I hope they do something, because they're white people doing this, and I'm white, predominantly white, and they're embarrassing the hell out of me. They're a discredit to our race here. They got to do something. We'll be right back. Chairman of the board, IMF, WTO. I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? And to me, this hour is sponsored by Susan Olson. Her message: Dear Mike, do you realize that Obama is allowing these neocons to destroy the American economy, that they're not allowed to destroy the people's safety net first? Unbelievable, isn't it? Yes, it is, Susan. Let's hope, as we've been talking about tonight a little bit, that Obama put them in the trick bag and then took a baseball bat to them. Back to your phone calls. Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, Mikey. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. Where you been?
Oh, man. I've been listening, but I've been rolling. And this is the question that goes back to the 60 years I've been listening to your show. You said, what's it going to take? All the time we've been through the crap with George Bush, and we kept saying, what's it going to take? This will be it. If that debt ceiling wasn't allowed to be did what they're supposed to do with it, and all these people with these American people who, like you just said a few minutes ago, that short memory, that short, they're not very good when it comes down to politics and stuff, you know. And
right.
They're just it'd be like I would be like as a truck driver, I'd be like dreaming, but my ideal freight, you know, like you get watermelons at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the Christmas trees, the Douglas fir, when it's cut fresh and you take it to the market, you know, that great feeling. I would go to the hardware store, distribution center, and load up on pitchforks, man, and be right there at the mall. Be right there with hands and mugs. This is free. We're finally, because, you know, the first time those social security checks, all those poor guys who served in the armed services, not seeing a paycheck.
But you know what, Arnold? If this doesn't make it crystal clear to even Republicans that the Republican leadership does not give a damn about people in this country. We're not talking about numbers. We're not talking about bricks. We're talking about human damn beings. We're talking about a lot of older people who, for whatever reason, vote Republican. And then these Republicans are just so willing to just take a knife right across their throat and then laugh while they bleed. We're talking about soldiers who the Republicans are so willing to send off to fight their corporate wars, and they're going to take a knife across their throat and just watch them bleed. Why don't people wake the hell up about what Republicans are about?
This will wake them up, man. If this thing failed to go through, they failed to raise that debt limit, this would be the thing that wakes these American people up. out of their trauma, out of their dreaming state that allows this country to go down the way it's going down, you know? I just sit back and I listen to your show. When they run this debt up, they scorn the Democrats. You cut and runners, you know, fighting a phony war. You know, you guys want to run away from all this, you know. We asked you to pay for it. How are you going to pay for it? And I remember how they used to talk trash to the Democrats and stuff like that. They were glad to go before George Bush and raise the debt limit. And they were robots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this black guy standing in the way. We got to get rid of this guy. And they're going to use this to get rid of him.
Sure, but you know,
the American economy into a tailspin to get rid of this black guy. I tell you.
But all they have done is ensure that Obama is going to get reelected. That's how they've done.
Yeah. I'm glad Ms. Bachman has said that, well, I'll never vote for a debt ceiling increase. I mean, she's speaking too early for me.
Oh.
She's speaking too early for me. I mean, I could get over that Charles Manson spirit you got, but God, she's speaking too early, man. Come on, Michelle. Make it to November, baby.
Have you seen her husband? Have you seen video of her husband, that great big man who got up on the stage with her? Everybody saw the video where he's bebop a loo lopping with her the other day. Did you see that guy? And this guy is out there running his, you know, clinic, and taking federal money, Medicaid money or Medicare money, whatever, to help people stop being gay, you know.
Filling their pockets up while his wife's running around talking about socialize.
Right. But the thing that was funny to me, I mean, you see so often that attractive women, and Michelle Bachman, until she opens her mouth, she's an attractive woman. I mean, let's be real here. But so many times, attractive women are married to men that look like they just crawled out of rocks, man. And here comes this great big hunk of white meat. Her husband, I've never seen an uglier. I mean, with that funky looking hair and them big ass face of his.
Marcus is going to save you. Just come to Marcus Clinic and
Marcus.
He'll straighten you out. He'll lay hands on you or look behind the curtain, look into Michelle's eyes, and you'll be scared straight.
he'll lay hands on me. I'll beat his ass. Arnold, thank you. You have a good whatever. Take it easy.
See you, buddy.
All right, take it easy. I'm serious here. I'm serious. Oh, Lord. By the standard of Caucasian-dominated beauty configurations of women, you know what I'm talking about. Don't give me any of that. Oh, Malloy's talking all that sexy. No. You know exactly what I'm talking about. By those standards, Michelle Bachman's cheekbones are where they're supposed to be. Her eyes, even though they're kind of blank and scary, or where they ought to be, you know, her facial structure, everything is there. You know what I'm talking about. We're sold this crap every single day. They have been using white women to sell us stuff like forever. You know that. Now they're using black women. That's true. But they've been using white women to sell us stuff forever. So Michelle Bachman fits into that spectrum of what the advertising world, corporate America, the capitalists consider to be, well, this is the kind of woman we put out there, and people will respond and buy our junk. If we put this woman out there selling, they'll buy. They did the same thing with Palin. All right. But Michelle Bachman's husband, back in the day, we used to call somebody that ugly. I mean, he just is. He's no Todd Palin, is that? Yeah, Todd Palin has got that. Todd Palin is handsome, the same way any mass killer would be handsome. And who is that guy that was running for the Senate in Alaska? The hell, the armed military guards. What was his name?
Oh my God.
Remember him? He never shaved. Yeah, had the military boys beat up the photographer. Whatever. He was attractive. According to the standards set out, yada, yada, yada. Don't make me go through it again. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. like, you don't have to subscribe to the belief. You don't have to believe in it. You can say, oh, that's sexist crap, which it is. But that's just where we live. That's where we live. So, here comes this ugly man. When I first saw that video of Michelle Bachmann dancing, what's she doing? Bop, what we used to call bop or shag. It's beach, you know, the beach dance, that beach music thing from the South Carolina coast. Just that shag dance, that bebop thing that she was doing. And her husband, I didn't know who that man was. I thought maybe it was, I don't know, some bodyguard or some politico. And it turns out to be her husband. And, you know, I'll tell you, you want to get people to stop being a certain way. You want them to stop being whatever it is you want them to stop being. And in Marcus Bachmann's case, it was take money to stop people from being gay. You want to stop. All you do is you take your gay man and you put him in the office and tell him to relax. And then you have Marcus come running in, that great big son of a bitch come running in. Are you gay? You know, that gay man's going to say, no, and run out the door. I mean, it's that simple, right? Of course, you could do the same thing to a heterosexual man, too. You could say, are you straight? No, and run out the door. He scares me. He does. Marcus Bachmann. Damn. You know, I always hear white folks talking about how black people can look scary. I'll tell you what. There has been, in the past 20, 30 years, a whole change of that, right? Some of the scariest people out there now. Some of the scariest people out there are white folks. Look at Dick Cheney, if you can. You know, Dick Cheney. Every time I looked at that man with that sneer, Michelle Bachmann with those empty eyes, Sarah Palin, who you know would just love it, just like she, you stand there when they're taking those turkeys' heads off and stuff, the way she shoots things. You know that Sarah Palin would just smile with all that red, that bright red lipstick, and just smile while she put a 30 caliber slug in your chest. I mean, you know, and then this freak out in Arizona, this woman, this Republican, who puts her laser gun sight on your chest and shows you her pretty pink 38 caliber handgun. God damn.
Doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand those Republicans. I hate that old Republican Party.
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Susan Olson. Thank you, Susan, so much. Her message, dear Mike, do you realize that Obama is allowing these neocons to destroy the American economy if they are not allowed to destroy the people's safety net first? Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, it is unbelievable. And a couple of points of view that certainly agree with Susan here. MK in Michigan writes, Mike, Obama has repeatedly sold out progressive positions on health care, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Bush tax cut extensions, etc., etc. There's still plenty of time for Obama to sell us out on Social Security and Medicare. It's too soon to applaud Obama. And Michael in Roswell writes, I'm not sure that things have changed all that much on the debt ceiling issue. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the Washington Post... quote, Obama regularly offers three telltale notions that will define his presidency, if events allow him to define it himself. They are sacrifice, grand bargain, and sustainability, end quote, Washington Post 2 years ago. Michael writes, given the perspective of the last 2.5 years, sustainability has been pretty much destroyed by continuing and expanding war, horrible excess in defense, security, intelligence, surveillance spending. The sacrifice has been predominantly forced upon the working class, and the grand bargain disproportionately has favored the corporate world and the very wealthy. And yet, the economy is still weak, and unemployment is still high, as many on the left predicted. Let's not forget that Obama is still pressing for significant spending cuts to non-defense programs in a time of high unemployment, and has openly suggested cuts to Social Security and Medicare. This latest turn of events can be spun as a win for Obama, but if he gets what he wants, we the people still lose. Michael and Roswell. Yeah, I don't disagree with either MK in Michigan or Michael and Roswell, the for sure, for sure. I think my only point was that if Obama, I'm just curious as to whether or not Obama and this particular issue, this non-existent, half-witted debt ceiling issue that the Republican leadership decided to make into the cause celeb of their leadership. I mean, this is it. This is the main thing, this dumbass, half-witted debt ceiling issue. If that's the case, and if Obama did put him in the trick bag, then point Obama. I'm not changing, you know, anything about my take on Obama. Both MK and Michael are absolutely correct that there are so many issues that Obama has shown himself to be a right winger, or I guess the current politically correct phrase would be he governs from the center right. Whatever the hell that means. But, so no, I get it, guys. I do. And, Bruce writes, Prairie 2 writes, four counties in central Iowa were devastated Sunday night by 110-mile-an-hour straight-line winds as a massive high-pressure system drained cold air into a high-temperature, low-pressure cell. Damn, Prairie 2's a weather guy, too. While there was no loss of life, many buildings were destroyed and thousands of century-old trees were decapitated and tens of thousands of acres of crops were flattened. Electric companies said this was an unprecedented event, worse than a major ice storm, and best described as a steamroller flattening the area. Electricity will not be fully restored for as much as a week. But Iowa has gay marriage. So what do you expect God to do? Global warming, you know, is just a conspiracy. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. And what now? But Prairie 2, God also, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, has put the state of Texas in such a horrendous position that the entire state has been declared a natural disaster area, the entire state. Now, I haven't heard that, which means that anybody in that state who is affected by the drought there and the high temperatures and can prove that they're affected, I guess this would mostly apply to farmers or, people in the farming business, I guess. But you can apply. They can apply now for low-cost federal loans. I believe that's what it means when they declare something a national disaster area. You can get money from the feds. I waited today, after that announcement was made, to see if Rick Perry would stand on the steps of the state capitol in Austin and tell the world that the federal government could stick their disaster money where the sun don't shine. Because this is Texas. And remember, it was Rick Perry who not that long ago was suggesting that Texas secede from the Union. So, Rick Perry, put up or shut up, you good-haired-looking freak. I mean, your whole state. I didn't hear you say you don't want the money. You don't want the low interest loans. You don't want. And how do you make low interest loans when the interest rate is only about 2.5% anyway? What the hell does that mean? I have no idea anymore. But Rick Perry, either man up or shut up. You all hat, no cattle freak. You're worse than the Bush bastard that you succeeded. You really are. Why don't you step out, Rick Perry? Come on, show those teabaggers that you know what they really want, what they really need, right? Come on, Rick Perry, step out and say, no, I don't want none of your damn money, your low-cost loans, or your disaster declaration. I'm from Texas. Right. Rick Perry, just another Republican hypocrite. There's so many of them. Where's the roach killer? Damn. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Size.